now boarding.
Hello and welcome to the Terror and Travel Show, a podcast where we tell you a hometown horror story.
And then outline how you can visit this region and experience parts of the story for yourself. I, as always, am Blair Allison.
And I, as I am frequently, am Eric Monroe-Schwan. And today, I feel like this is a pretty special episode. I'm very excited about what we're talking about today.
Okay.
Because we're talking about boo hags.
Oh!
Do you have any experience with the boo hags, Blair?
I personally don't, but that's because I paint my porch ceiling haint blue. So I have no trouble with those.
Hell yeah. So you already know how to keep boo hags away.
Uh-huh. I did grow up hearing about haints, but I never knew what they were.
Wait, what's a haint?
It's the same thing.
Gotcha. Well, I think we'll just hop into it and not leave the audience in any more suspense.
Tell me all about it. I'm so excited.
Blair.
Eric.
Do you ever wake up after a long night's rest still feeling exhausted?
Only every day.
This is not the start of an infomercial. But it's not just a physical exhaustion, but like a deeper spiritual or emotional exhaustion.
Oh.
As you move about your day, you feel like you just can't catch your breath. Well, the answer is yes. Then the Gullah people of the southeast of the U.S., but specifically the Sea Islands of South Carolina, would contend that you've been visited by a boo hag. A boo hag, to put it simply, is a vampire. Or maybe she's a witch. Either way, the description of the boo hag is just about the same. During the day, she looks like a human. Like you or me, your boss, neighbor, teacher, anybody. But if someone in your life has been acting strange recently, not like their normal self, that may be because a boo hag has stolen their skin. The friend you knew before is dead.
Oh!
Boo hags don't often kill like this, so don't worry about it too much. They only do so if you've seen their true form or interrupted them in their feeding. What does a boo hag truly look like, you may ask? Imagine a body, flayed or skinned of all of its flesh. The epidermal layer of the body completely removed to reveal the sinewy muscles and red, roiling flesh below. A mass of veiny, warm meat that stinks of decomposition and makes the air around it heated and damp.
Pause,
yes.
Are we talking about the same creature in the pool from that episode of Are You Afraid of the Dark? Was that thing a boo hag?
I've never seen Are You Afraid of the Dark.
Damn it, that was before your time.
I'm sorry.
All I know is that episode scared the piss out of me.
I'm ignorant of the ways of what we do in the dark. I know what we do in the shadows.
Just not what we do in the dark.
If a boo hag doesn't already live with you, then she will try to get into your house at night, taking off her skin, crawling out of it and storing it in a safe, secret place. She'll find you wherever you live and use any crevice, cracked window, or keyhole to enter, contorting, squeezing, deforming herself to fit her raw form through any small space she can find.
Of your body?
No, just into your house. But once she's inside your home, she's gonna use her red glowing eyes to find you where you sleep, crawl into your bed, sitting on your chest, just perching herself there. And you won't feel the tickle of her bloody hair touching her face as she leans over you, because it sticks out and around and behind her, floating unearthly around her head. Now, boo hags aren't like normal vampires. She doesn't want your blood. What she wants is to take your breath right from your mouth, taking it with your life force and forcing themselves into your dreams. Now, from this comes a common phrase the Gullah Geechee people exchange before heading to bed. don't let the hag ride you. But once the boo hag has had her fill, she'll leave before the sun rises, returning to her stolen skin and continuing to live someone else's life. At this point, I think what do you think of the boo hag so far? Because I want to kind of point out something that I think is interesting that I've heard other people who talk about this say, but what are your thoughts?
She sounds a lot like a succubus with the, you've been referring to her as feminine this whole time, so I just, mm-hmm. It seems like very succubus energy, and also she's just like a terrible sleep paralysis demon.
That was what I was going to bring up, is some people related it to sleep paralysis demons, and I was like, ooh, yes, she's the worst sleep paralysis demon.
Because people who experience that will a lot of times feel a heavy weight on their chest.
But at this point, I'm sure you're wondering, where do boo hags come from?
Yeah.
And more importantly, how do you get rid of them? Both questions are easily answered. So, within Gullah Geechee culture, there's a delineation between the soul and the spirit. Now, your soul leaves your body once you pass away and moves into the afterlife, but your spirit stays behind to watch over your friends and family.
Oh, that's cool.
That is, you know, that is if you have a good spirit. But if your spirit is wicked, it transforms into a malicious force, potentially becoming a boo hag. Now, to rid yourself of a boo hag, you have quite a few options. The boo hags are surprisingly meticulous, and they just can't resist counting the bristles off a straw broom if she happens to see one, and she won't stop until she's finished. So, potentially, all you have to do is lay a broom out at the end of your bed. The boo hag will be distracted by it, and maybe it won't even be able to escape back to their skin at dawn the next day, completely ridding you of them. This method also works with colanders or sieves, things like that, but some boo hags are clever and have learned to count quickly.
Or she just doesn't take her Adderall. That's the most dangerous hag of all.
Ignoring mental health. If you wake up in the middle of the night and you hear at the foot of your bed, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30, 31, 32, 33, 34, 35, 36, 37, 38, then you may want to try something else. Unless you want, you know, a bunch of brooms.
Like passing away.
Yeah, like dying. Like choosing to just fully leave your body at that moment.
I ain't letting her have it.
Who wants a bunch of kitchen supplies and brooms hanging out in their bedroom? So if that's just didn't do it, then you'll probably want to try an alternative method. Now, as Blair said before, if you absolutely do not want a boo hag to enter your house, you're gonna want to paint all of your doors and windows blue. I saw it referred to as like an indigo blue. How did you describe it?
The color I saw was more of like a teal-y turquoise kind of color, but it's called haint blue.
Haint blue.
Haints are like southern creatures that you want to stay away from that live in the woods, basically.
Gotcha.
Like spirits and like basically what a boo hag is, but that's a haint.
Well, I ain't gonna cross them. Yikes. So boo hags hate blue and can't cross any boundary of blue no matter how hard she tries. She will knock, maybe do a little bit of tapping, and then throw herself at your windows and doors, but she will not get through.
You were telling this to someone who jumps at any sound that is made in my house. I jump 10 feet in the air if, like, the fridge makes a pop sound, okay?
I live in the middle of nowhere where I just hear animals at night, so I'm already afraid of everything around me, so nothing else can exceed that in my mind.
Oh, I hate to see it.
But what if a boo hag already lives in your house? What if she's taken the skin of someone you love, spending the day at peace in your home, until the moment she can disappear through an open window into the night when you're asleep? Doubtless, to terrorize others in your neighborhood or town. the answer to your problems? Of course it has to be salt. You know, you maybe a little hint of pepper. You find their skin, wherever it may be. Some boo hags like to leave their skin suit under staircases or in a chest of drawers.
Okay.
So once you find their skin suit, you're going to want to just douse it, the inside of it, with salt and pepper. And when the hag comes home, she'll slither back into her suit. And once her raw flesh comes in contact with the salt, it'll begin to boil and disintegrate, with now liquefied flesh pouring out of her mouth, eyes, ears, nose, and fingernails.
Oh.
You hate to see it. That's going to be a mess, you know? Someone's going to have to clean that up. Now, these methods of dealing with boo hags should work with any boo hag you come across. But they are, you know, distinctly reminiscent of the ways you would deal with a vampire. Except for maybe the salt in the skin. But, you know, you use salts with vampires, right? What monster is that?
Witches.
Well, that's a great transition, because some folks, however, will characterize the boo hag more as a witch. A great video I recommend everyone check out through PBS is a video of a storyteller named Donna Washington recounting a boo hag legend. Much like a witch, the boo hag in this story prepares special dinners for the man she's tricked into marrying her, which have a soporific effect and ensure that he won't wake when she sneaks out into the night. And now, the way that she removes her skin is just one of the worst things that's ever happened to me.
Oh, lay it on me.
She picks and picks and picks at her fingernail until she gets a thread of skin. She then weaves that thread into a spinning wheel or a sewing wheel and just starts spinning it, and as it comes down her finger and her hand and up her arm as she slowly unthreads the skin.
That is how she unravels her skin?
Yes. It's
a spinning wheel like in Sleeping Beauty.
Yes, like that kind of real witch aesthetic shit.
Oh, that is so nasty and wrong.
It's bad. Now, the boo hag within Washington's story feeds on people by turning them on their stomachs, putting a bridle in their mouth, and riding them around their room, levitating, and getting their fill of breath and life force through the victim's back. That just sounds like a good time.
I'm speechless. Wow, this is, like, the worst thing I've ever heard.
Just a little light BDSM when you're getting the life sucked out
of you. That's certainly not consensual. That's some,
Another story recounts a man whose wife is also a boo hag, who's able to separate the boo hag from her skin by employing the salt and pepper method. Now, when the boo hag tries to go claim her skin once more, she goes, "Skin, skin, you know me? Skin, skin, this is me. Skin, skin, you know me? Skin, skin, this is me." She just can't get her skin back on her, so she goes skulking about the house, just wet, sopping, bloody flesh. But, of course, the husband catches her, and with the help of the whole neighborhood, really, throws her into a vat of pitch, which is a mixture of petroleum, tar, and plant products, which she burns to death in, very reminiscent of a witch being thrown into her own cauldron or oven.
Teamwork.
Teamwork makes the dream work.
That they did the same shit to Freddy Krueger.
It's just such an effective way to deal with paranormal spirits. So, audience, if you've woken up feeling exhausted, having had strange dreams that don't make sense, beware, because a boo hag may have just taken you for a ride during the night. And that's pretty much it.
Oh, I have a question real quick.
Oh yeah, go for it.
Is there a way you can tell if your loved one or someone you know has been taken over by a boo hag?
Generally, within the stories, it's easy to tell because if you wake up during the night and they're not in bed with you, and you go looking throughout the house and they're not there, that's probably a pretty good sign that they are a boo hag. Or are committing adultery.
Either way, it's not preferable.
Certainly not preferable. I'm trying to think if there would be any other way.
You said something earlier about just if they're behaving kind of oddly.
Yeah, you know, if they are really earnest about trying to get you to eat their food specifically and getting you to sleep. Oh. Like, really trying to, like, okay, it's time to go to bed. It's time to go to bed. Fucking lay down. And also, you know, if there are in your neighborhood, city, town, if people just start getting sick, it'll mostly be the men at first, but then it might move to being the children as well. And it's not just like a, I'm cold, I have a cold, oh no! It's like, you can't get out of bed. All of your health and vivacity and life force has been drained out of you. Ooh. That is a pretty good sign that you at least have a boo hag in your neighborhood.
That's something to look out for.
Yeah, and if you wake up during the night and you hear, like, the sound of raw flesh hitting the ground of your house, like, just walking around, you know, that's probably a boo hag.
Don't panic, just, there's nothing you can do.
There is simply nothing you can do
if she's already in your house.
You gotta be crafty. That's all I'm gonna say is you gotta outsmart the boo hag.
She's gonna be so mad when she finds the pile of pillows that I formed to look like me under the bed. Meanwhile, I'm out the back door.
Just straight sprinting away. So now, transitioning over to giving a bit of context about Gullah Geechee culture. The Gullah people are descendants of individuals from West Africa who are kidnapped and forced into slavery. They live in South Carolina on the Sea Islands, and I think in Georgia and northern Florida as well, on land which they purchased and own, which they were previously enslaved on. Because of the somewhat remote location in which they live, they've maintained this incredibly rich and individual culture within the Americas, which has preserved a lot of its West African roots. And they have their own language, Gullah, which was developed by the Gullah Geechee ancestors, who were held as slaves as a means for them to communicate with one another freely. They have their own cuisine, music, storytelling, craftsmanship, and spiritual practices. I highly recommend researching the Gullah culture if you're interested. Blair's about to tell us a bit more after our, or when we get into our travel section. But they're a really exceptional community, and their culture and practices should be respected and cherished and protected so that future generations can learn about the culture as well. And you actually might be more familiar with Gullah culture than you originally assume. This was a little before my time, but I have vague memories of it on TV. But Blair, did you grow up watching Gullah Gullah Island on Nickelodeon?
I am very familiar with Gullah Gullah Island. I never watched it. And the only reason is because I was terrified of that giant frog. The human in the frog costume, I couldn't do. I liked all the scenes that the frog wasn't in. And I wanted to watch the show because all my friends were watching it. But the frog terrified me to no end.
No, I watched little clips of it preparing for this, and I will agree that the frog was unsettling to me as well. But this is also someone who was deathly afraid of Disney dress-up characters as a kid. So maybe we're just not people who are born to have friends who enjoy costume play, otherwise known as cosplay.
It's just the human in an animal costume thing. I was also, and to this day, am still very afraid of Alf, so we don't go there.
Yo, I don't fuck with Alf either.
He eats cats. Who needs it?
Certainly. But so Gullah Gullah Island was presented by Ron and Natalie Days. Ron is a descendant of Gullah Geechee culture, while Natalie, I believe, was brought into the culture through marriage. I would highly recommend checking out just the plethora of Gullah Geechee videos on YouTube. Ron Days actually has, like, a TED Talk where he talks about his own experience with his culture. You can also check out GullahGeecheeCorridor.org. If you also want to hear more tales of the Boo Hag, there are also some very exceptional videos on YouTube. And again, I super recommend the Boo Hag story on PBS told by Donna Washington. Now, Blair, please take it away.
I had an absolute blast researching the Gullah Geechee people. I think it's so fascinating that a week ago we had never even heard of this literal nation of people, and now we're so invested in their story. So yeah, they range from North Carolina all the way to North Florida, with their main hub kind of in the coastal South Carolina. And they did develop their own Gullah language, this kind of Creole language, as a form of survival, because when they were brought over from West Africa, there were probably around 20 different tribes. And in order to survive, they had to figure out ways to communicate with each other. And so that's how this language that they still speak today is formed. They took some of English, some of their other collection of all the tribes, and you can find YouTube videos of them speaking Gullah, and it's so wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, like you said, due to like the relative remoteness of the islands, they still maintain their culture. They do still maintain kind of a hunter-gatherer lifestyle. They forage. They use natural herbs to sustain their health.
From what I heard, like, there was decades and decades and decades where there's a land bridge to the island now, but previously it was just like, you have to take a boat. So they were incredibly insulated.
Yeah. So where Hilton Head Island now is used to be a main hub of the Gullah Geechee people. Now, of course, it's a big tourist area that they had no control over. But nowadays, the Gullah they're really happy to share their traditions and beliefs with tourists who want to learn more. You can take part in a Gullah Heritage Tour, which offers a comprehensive tour of the Gullah Geechee Corridor, as visitors can travel through 10 Gullah villages and learn of their history. They also offer educational programs for schools, libraries, community programs, and much, much more.
Hell yeah.
You can also visit the Coastal Discovery Museum, which features Gullah presentations and performances year-round. And there's an annual Gullah Culture Festival that is held on Hilton Head Island every February. Most Februarys, probably not this one.
We gotta go to that though.
And the Gullah Geechee people became an internationally recognized nation in June of 2000 with their long-running elected leader, chiefess, and head of state, Queen Kwet.
Hell yes!
She, oh my god, I love watching videos of her. This woman is out of this world.
There are so many videos of her on YouTube, and yes. I was just, like, mesmerized. She's so beautiful and intelligent and such a leader, and I would follow her to the ends of the earth.
The very ends of the earth and beyond. She has her own website, too. She's written books. I mean, she's well-traveled. Anyway, she's the chiefess and the head of state. So she is not only their spiritual leader, she is also their political leader. So she travels around the world promoting and discussing cultural preservation, social justice, climate impact, and so much more. And if you're wondering, like, some people say Gullah, some people say Geechee, Gullah Geechee. If you're wondering what the difference is between them, I found a Facebook page called Geechee Experience Facebook page, and they said that Gullah and Geechee are culturally the same, but linguistically different.
Ooh.
Yeah, whereas Gullah is more traditional, especially with their dialect, the Geechee have a more modern experience and I guess interpret more modern speech into their dialect and I guess into their daily practices as well.
Gotcha, okay. Mm-hmm. Very, very cool.
Yeah. Last thing I'll say about Queen Kwet, and there was another a Gullah elder in a video that I saw, and she said, being Gullah is being fully aware of the connection you have with nature. And Queen Kwet followed that up by saying, the land is a family member to us and the waterways are our bloodline. And she further explained that they have all the modern amenities that everyone else in the country has, but if they were to lose all that, if they lost power on the island, whatever, they can survive without it. Whereas I lost power the other morning and didn't know what to do. I was like, well, I can't do my job. I can't make coffee. I can't watch TV. All my things are dead. Can't do nothing.
I guess I'm gonna read by candlelight?
Guess I'll just read by candlelight or meditate?
Oh.
Agils? No, but they could lose power for a month and be totally fine. So if you go to visitgullahgeechee.com, they outline so many different Gullah experiences you can have, and I'm going to talk about a few of them here. So our first stop is the McLeod Plantation on James Island. And before I lose you there, it is the only plantation in South Carolina that tells the story from the perspective of enslaved people rather than the white narrative and all the great things this white family did.
Hell yes!
It is a 37-acre Gullah Geechee heritage site, because those are the people that were enslaved there, and many of the slave houses are still standing, and you can visit where the old slave cemetery was. Of course, they're all unmarked graves because that's how it was, very sadly, mm-hmm. but they know exactly where it is. And you can take a guided tour, or you can download a map and take your own self-guided tour, like I know you and I love to do.
Absolutely.
Our next stop is the Kaka Interpretive Center in Ravenal. This was a massive former rice field and the site of the end of the Stono Rebellion, which is sometimes called Cato's Rebellion, in 1739.
Oh.
This was the largest slave rebellion that ever happened in the British colonies. Yeah, it resulted in the deaths of many people from both sides, and it was kind of a turning point in the way that enslaved people were treated by their masters in South Carolina. You know, they had to offer mm-hmm. them some incentive to not revolt, you know?
Yeah, very, yeah.
It led to them being treated slightly better. It was hard to get more concrete facts about this for whatever reason. It was inspired during a Sunday service that the enslaved people held together, and then they were like, you know what, we're done with this, we are literally gonna kill our way to Spanish Florida. And then, of course, they did not make it. They only made it as far as Ravenal, but it had its impact and it accomplished what it wanted to. As for the site itself, there are over 6 miles of walking trails with trailside exhibits. There are interpretive exhibits, displays, and programs, environmental and educational programs for preschool through college level.
Very, very cool.
There are also 2 Gullah museums you could visit. One is in Hilton Head and one is in Georgetown, South Carolina. Both house historic Gullah artifacts and host many events throughout the year, which are pending now, of course.
Yeah, of course.
To learn more and to donate to either one of them, you could visit GullahMuseumHHI.org or GullahMuseumSC.com. That will take you to the 2 individual websites.
I will say that even within COVID, though, from looking at their tourism websites briefly, it seems like they are trying to offer a lot of COVID-safe experiences for people to still come and experience their culture despite the pandemic.
Yeah, absolutely. It does seem that they are making quite the effort, and I mm-hmm. love that. You can also donate to the Gullah Geechee people in general, just to support them and their mission to expand knowledge and awareness of their people. GullahGeecheeCorridor.org, and that's GullahGeecheeCorridor.org.
Love it. I think I saw one more charity as well. And this is obviously our charity plug for the day.
Yeah, it's kind of weaved in with the travel right now.
Yeah, definitely. I found a website called GullahGeecheeIF.org, and their mission is, Gullah Geechee Initiative Foundation is a nonprofit organization that provides athletic, cultural, and academic services to the young people of St. Helena Island, South Carolina, preparing them for community service and a life of excellence. Our programs foster knowledge of self and preventing youth from engaging in juvenile delinquency and performing poorly academically. So okay. Consider checking them out as well. Again, it's GullahGeecheeIF.org.
Very cool. You know what I learned from the Gullah Museum of Georgetown website?
Ooh, tell me.
A lot of the, or several words we use on a regular basis are actually Gullah words.
Wait, tell me.
Mm-hmm.
Which ones?
So, yo, tote, okra, yam, and my personal favorite, goober.
Goober?
Those are all, goober, I always knew that was a southern word, but I never, who would have known that was a Gullah word?
Do you mean tote as in like a tote bag, or tote as in the slang totally that we've...
I would say tote bag.
Tote bag. That's mm-hmm. super sick.
Yeah. Kumbaya is also a Gullah word.
Ooh, you love to hear that.
It means come by here in Gullah, because they pronounce the word here as ya. They say look ya all the time, and I love that.
Kumbaya, my lord, as a phrase makes so much more sense now.
It really does. So we got one more. So The historic Harrington School used to be the schoolhouse for three Gullah Geechee communities on St. Simon's Island, and it now serves as a cultural center and community museum. They're going to be reopening very, very soon.
Oh, cool. Great.
Mm-hmm. And I will close out by talking a little about the Lowcountry food. So the main difference between traditional soul food and Gullah food is that seafood is heavily incorporated into the palate. There's a chef who talks about the food, and he was saying that with shrimp, obviously with shrimp you have to take off their heads to cook them.
Yeah.
And instead of just throwing out the heads, this is a practice his grandmother did. You put the heads in the attic, and in the wintertime they dry out.
Ooh.
And so then when they're dried out, you can take them all, put them in a mortar and pestle and crush them up, and then put them in a broth.
Whoa!
So it's completely waste not, want not. They truly live off the land and the sea
in yeah.
such a beautiful kind of indigenous way. But again, like you said in the very beginning, their culture is such a beautiful blend of their African roots that they brought back with them and merging it with what they had on the East Coast of the United States.
And also, they've also had a tremendous, obviously, as we just talked about, a tremendous influence on United States, broadly popular culture. And like, I saw, speaking particularly on cuisine, I saw another video where a chef was talking about, you know, we used to use kind of like the leftovers of like a slaughtered pig or whatever during the period when they were enslaved, and they would create these immaculate, beautiful, delicious dishes out of them, and now those are considered broad delicacies in the region, and people are asking them how to make them and all that.
Yeah. So, next time you're visiting the southern coast of the United States, be it North Carolina, South Carolina, Georgia, North Florida, instead of visiting the, like, overcrowded Bubba Gumps, which will always be there,
mm-hmm.
do your research and eat some authentic, traditional Gullah food and support local businesses and people. I'd drop a link, but there are so many restaurants. I can't list them all. I can't drop so many links. So just do your research on what particular area you go. Obviously, Hilton Head Island will have a lot of them. So if you're going there, like, you will be taken care of.
And like, information abounds about Gullah culture in general, and it's very easy to access. It's literally a search away. So if you're interested, go check them out.
We hope you have enjoyed the Gullah Geechee Appreciation Hour. We certainly have. We had a lot of fun researching this incredible nation of people.
This was a wild week. I think we both went in deep separately. Mm. And it was a delight. It was an absolute delight.
Did you see the YouTube video of, it was a Gullah elder who was telling a Gullah version of Three Little Pigs?
No.
Story time.
I need to see that.
It's a
now.
Long video. I still okay. haven't watched the whole thing, but it's called Storytime with Aunt Pearly Sue.
I will check that out. They're, yeah, the Gullah storytellers who I was listening to stories by are just so incredible. Talented and incredibly gifted storytellers. So, yeah, we've already done our charity plug. I think that wraps it up for us today. Mm-hmm. This was a delightful episode to make. And we're obviously going, there's no doubt about that, we have to go visit the Gullah Geechee people and experience some of these things for ourselves, obviously, respectfully. But there are so many options for us to learn and go and experience.
Beautiful. So, girls, gays, and theys, and whichever men happen to be here too, wear your mask, be safe, paint your door haint blue so the boo hat mm-hmm. won't get you.
And we'll see you next week. Have a good one.
I love you.
Bye.